If you'd like to follow along, please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14. In whom? Jesus Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. My title today is The Earnest of Our Inheritance. The Earnest of Our Inheritance. The Holy Spirit is called several things. It's called the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and also the Spirit of Christ. But here Paul expressly names the Holy Spirit of God as the earnest of our inheritance. And that's what I want to talk about. In verse 13, he starts, "Within whom ye also trusted." Believers trust Christ with all that entails. You understand, this is not a human trust. This is a supernatural trust. This is a spiritual trust. You understand? I know whom I have believed. Paul wrote that, and I believe it. And it's true. You can use some human illustrations, okay? You can say, if you want to, since Christ uses marriage as a part of a spiritual union, an illustration of a spiritual union, you can say, "I trust my wife." But if you can't believe anything she says, you're not going to be trusted. Right. It's not happening. Right. There are people who say they trust Christ, but they don't believe what he said. I've had them tell me that to their face, to my face. "Well, that doesn't say that." Or, "He didn't mean that." No, Christ said what he meant, and he meant what he said. The problem is not with Christ or Christ's words or a translation of the Bible. The problem's with me. The problem's with us. The problem is with man, and it always has been. But believers trust Christ. The antecedent, the beginning of where it says in verse 13, "In whom you also trusted," you look up in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Yeah. And then Paul says, "In whom you trust." That's in Christ. Yeah. You don't have to trust me. In fact, sometimes I might encourage you not to. Trust his word.
Amen, that's right. Right.
If I'm speaking according to his word, trust his word. This word is all we have. We believers, it says, because it says we trusted, but it says this. After. Mm-hmm. After. What? Ye heard the word of truth. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Oh, I think he means what he just wrote after that. The gospel of your salvation. We heard the gospel of our salvation. Now, how we hear is not written here. But I can tell you this. From a sermon that Paul heard himself as Saul of Tarsus, If you've heard the gospel of your salvation, it's because God has circumcised your heart and your ears.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you are of uncircumcised heart and ears, you will always resist who? The Holy Spirit. You always will resist the Holy Spirit. That's the lot of man as he is naturally. So Paul is writing to believers, and he's writing about believers. Paul is writing to those who trust in Christ Jesus. And that includes us today.
Amen.
If we believe Christ, if we trust Christ. But you will only trust after you have heard the gospel of your salvation. And you'll only hear after God has given you ears. But if God has given you ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart to understand, you will believe.
Amen.
And you will trust when you hear his gospel preached. The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified, but not just crucified on the cross, crucified and risen from the dead and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he is right now at the right hand of the Father. Our God is in the heavens and he is doing whatsoever he please. And his people will be willing in the day of his power. Then he says this statement. In whom you've trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed. With that Holy Spirit, here's another one, of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. But you were sealed. Now, I heard a man, I listened to several of his recordings on the book of Ephesians, and I dearly love the man's preaching. He helped me tremendously. But when he got to this scripture, he had been breaking it down verse by verse almost. Breaking it down and saying, this is what it says, and guess what? That's what it means. But when he got to this one, he said, I know Paul said the only thing here is that it's after you believe you're sealed, but there's more to it than that. And I'm here to tell you today, there's not. Because if there was more to it there, Paul would have wrote it right here. The only prerequisite, if you want to put it, for being sealed by the Spirit is what? To believe. Now, we just went through it a little bit. How do you believe? Well, he goes on in Ephesians to tell you that we believe according to the workings of his mighty power. And the fellow preached great about that. Sometimes this stuff drives me up a wall. Because, see, when I started out, I thought about this on the way up here, Walter, I was listening to Henry Mahan. And when I first started out, I was going to an Armenian church. After God had saved me, because I didn't know anywhere else to go. I had nowhere else to go. But I could hear Henry Mahan on the TV and agree with everything he said. As Henry Mahan said, God will save you or you won't be saved. Well, that's not what some of these people were saying. And see, I had this, I was ignorant. Seriously, I was totally ignorant of Christianity and of the Bible and of the truth of God. I just thought preachers were people like me. Every now and then they just said stupid things. Well, it turned out once I learned a little more, it was a lot more often than every now and then. And see, now my prayer today is please God keep me from saying something stupid. Because I know I'm capable of it. I'm capable of mistakes. But if I stay with his word, I should be good. Because his word is always true. And all of his word is always true. But this fellow said that, and the only prerequisite Paul puts here for the sealing of the Spirit is believing. And I'll put a period right there.
Right.
A period. This is the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, who do you believe? If you believe Christ.
Yeah.
If you believe his word. What? If you believe his gospel. You're sealed.
Amen.
You're sealed with the Spirit of promise. There's a promise that goes with the Holy Spirit. And you understand, in order to get this far to where you believe, the Holy Spirit's already got to be in you. You understand, we do not believe, there was a sign coming up the hill here, well, right before the big dip there, the Free Will Baptist Church. I was a dead man walking until I found Jesus. No. No dead man has ever found Jesus. No dead man has ever found Jesus. And no dead man ever will find Jesus. Life from God comes before even faith. And with life, the Holy Spirit will give you faith. And with that faith, you will, what? Believe. When you hear, I love how this says, the gospel of your salvation. You understand? Because I'm not concerned with the gospel of Walter's salvation. At that time, and in that place, I was worried about my salvation. It is intensely and totally personal. Because I didn't know Walter was corrupt. I knew I was. You know? I didn't know you were corrupt, Mason. I knew I was. And listen, I will admit to being totally selfish about this. I was worried about me and nobody else. Then I read in the scriptures where it says the Lord kills and he makes alive. He ain't gonna make you alive till he kills you. And he's not gonna kill you physically, he's gonna kill you up here in your own head. He's gonna kill you here in your own heart. You can't be saved until you know you're a sinner. Guess what? That's the work of the Holy Spirit of promise. I like that, I do. Paul says, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then it comes to this statement right here, which is, now guess what he's talking about here? He's still talking about the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You understand? Here, if you want to, being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest of our inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? If the Holy Spirit seals you, you're sealed.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to put that, you know? It's just like, if God saves you, you're saved. If Christ saved you, you're saved.
Amen.
You understand? Christ Jesus never failed at anything. And I don't care what any preacher says. Because if they say anything different than that, they're lying. Because our God is in the heavens and he is doing what? He's not doing whatever you'll let him get away with. You understand? Our God is not in the heavens and won't you let him save you? I've heard that. Seen it written on signs. Let Jesus save you. Trust me, you get in his way, he'll kill you. And then he'll make you alive. If he wants. Our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned. That God is in heaven. He does according to his will among all the inhabitants of the earth, in heaven, beneath, everywhere. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance. Now, the word earnest, and I remember Earl talking about this years ago, and it kind of kicked me onto this. This, the earnest, is a financial term. It's about money. Now, you understand, this is Paul using this as an illustration of what this is. Paul says this is an illustration. It's an earnest. It's a financial term. The word earnest means a payment made of part of a purchase price, and it's given in advance as security.
Amen.
For the whole purchase. It's not used much now. They still use it maybe in real estate. And you talk about big money. They talk about, the phrase is this, earnest money. That's what they talk about. See, I call it a deposit. But see, my purchases are a lot smaller than real estate most of the time. You know? Some people call it a down payment. But that's the phrase, earnest money. And that's the exact phrase that Paul's using. You can look it up in the Greek. I did. In our financial dealings, you know, we don't have enough dealings to put down earnest money, but we will maybe have to make a down payment on a house or a car or something like that. And what you do when you're putting that money down, you're promising to pay the rest.
Amen.
Why? To complete the transaction. I like that, I do. And not only that, when I complete the transaction, the bank sends me a title. And you know what? I own that car. It's mine. Totally and completely. And I can do what I want with it. I can keep it and I can sell it. But here, and here's the truth of the matter. This is something else. This word is used only three times in the scripture. Earnest. And I mean this word. It is used, let me see here, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 and 22. Now, he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's the same exact word. The other place is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us, what? The earnest of the Spirit. You understand, there's three times Paul uses it. He's the only one that uses this word in the New Testament. And all three times, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise. Our earnest is a real person. Is a real person. All three times. Like I said, all three times that Paul uses this word, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Spirit of Christ. He's talking about the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Spirit of promise. God has anointed his people. Anointed. God has sealed his people. God has given his people his Spirit. Because the earnest has nothing to do with you. The earnest is completely of God. It's completely of God. Our sealing And the earnest of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit of God. What did he say? In you. In you. In you. A divine work. And here's the thing that I want to talk about today. A divine payment. A divine payment. What is it? No. Who is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You understand? A good hope. A sure hope. Not only that, a divine hope. In you. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. And a promise. He has wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And what? After that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. A promise. A promise from God, through his Son, and by his Spirit. To his people. And this promise is of a complete salvation. Complete salvation. And he's promised it to us at the last day. Everyone, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and I will. Who said that? Jesus Christ said that. What did he say? I will raise them up at the last day. Now, what part did Jesus Christ give to you in that statement?
Right.
Well, you're going to be there, and that's it. He's promised to raise you up. He didn't promise to raise you up if you believed hard enough. He didn't promise to raise you up if you were a soul winner. He didn't promise you to raise you up if you're a preacher. No. All that the Father hath given me,
amen,
shall come to me, and I will raise them. What? All that the Father gave me. What is it? All thine are mine, and all mine are thine. That's what Jesus Christ said in his prayer to the Father in John 17. All of thine are mine, and all of mine are thine. Oh, I like that. That's a promise. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. Oh my. Paul uses this example of earnest money three times to let us know that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. We are his. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He's brought us into his family. He's made us members of his body. And not only that, I like members in particular. He'll put you in the body where he wants you to be. And you're going to be there because he wants you to be there. It's amazing. Here's the thing. God has never made a contract that he didn't keep.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Never. Amen. Never. People break contracts all the time. Trust me. You understand? People let their cars go back. I deal with that at work sometimes. Most of the time, the way I deal with it is I give the job to somebody else because it's not mine. It's okay. But people break contracts every day. That's why there's lawyers, and that's why there's lawsuits. You can actually sue someone for what they call breach of contract. But God never made a contract, never made a testament, never made a covenant that he didn't keep.
Amen, that's right.
We can miss a payment. God won't. You understand? We can be slow and we can be late. God's not slow, God's not late, he's not, his arm is not short that he cannot save. We stumble, He keeps his promise. We fail. He keeps his covenant. And even though we fall, we will not be utterly cast down. Why? Because he will keep his testament, his promise. The earnest of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit of Christ. Those redeemed by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit seals them, and he is the earnest of our inheritance. And here's the thing about the earnest. This is one thing I want to point out. You understand? The earnest is just a little tiny price of that purchase. They say usually in these big purchases, you know, it's like 2 or 3% used to be, or 5% maybe, you know. But you know what you get when you put out that money? You get the whole thing. It's going to be paid. Everything's going to be paid. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. In you. In you. God himself is the earnest. And here's the thing. He's the earnest of our, yours and mine, our inheritance. The earnest, believers have an inheritance. Well, we are heirs of God. It says in Romans. Heirs of God. And not only that, we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Oh my. It's our inheritance. And our inheritance is secure. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit of promise. What is it? It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it will never, ever fade away.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. What is it? Reserved.
Amen.
In heaven for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that glorious?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that glorious? And you know why? Because the Holy Spirit's the earnest of our inheritance. You understand? God has given to us his Spirit. Christ has put himself in us, the hope of glory. And that's just a taste of what's coming.
Yeah.
That's just a taste.
Yeah.
The earnest money is just a little bit. There's more to happen. Oh my, I like that. It's just a small fraction of our inheritance as we walk in this life. But it's a perfect guarantee of it. We are sealed, and our inheritance is secured by the Holy Spirit. Let's say, until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Yeah.
Ah. Now, we talk about redemption a lot around here. There's a reason why. Because we got nothing without redemption.
That's right. Amen.
Everything we have is because of the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, as in your vain conversations, which is all we ever have when we're talking about anything else, is vain conversations. No, but with the precious blood of Christ. The work of redemption is done. There's no more purchase price to be paid by the Redeemer. But the scripture is clear. This redemption's not finished. It's purchased. And I love it. I mean, you know, I think I said it a while back when I preached on this, that I don't really need an adjective in front of the word redemption. But the scripture gives two good ones. You know? Because redemption is Christ's work. And by definition, Christ's work is perfect. But there are two adjectives that go with the word redemption. Psalms 130 verse 7, you don't have to turn there. This is one I preached on a while back. It says that with him, with God, is plenteous redemption. I like that word. I like that word. There's an overwhelming abundance of redemption. Matter of fact, there's no way you could get any more redemption than Christ's blood. Plenteous redemption is overwhelming. And Hebrews 9 and verse 12 says this, that Christ Jesus himself, by one offering to the Father, obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, I like that too. Understand? Redemption is overwhelming. And redemption, oh, what? Eternal. Eternal. There's no end to the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is plenteous and eternal. And one day, our redemption, which is already totally paid by Jesus Christ, but our redemption in full will be complete. Complete. Because this life on this world is not all there is. Paul said it, if we had hope only in this world, we'd be of all men most miserable.
Amen, that's right.
But we don't. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You have the earnest of our inheritance. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." The Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the hope of more. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And then it'll be brought prize to say, death is swallowed up in victory. There's more coming, folks. We have a guarantee of it right now, right here, in the Spirit of Christ within you. If you trust Him, if you believe Him, if you believe His gospel. Because the Son, one day, is actually going to present us, all His people, to the Father. And we are going to be not what we are in promise now, but in reality, spotless, blameless, without sin. Every sin that there was paid for in the redemption of Jesus Christ by His precious blood being shed. And the Holy Spirit is a guarantee in you of more. More. Because now we have a part. We do have a part. The earnest of our inheritance. We have a part. You know, what we know now, we know in part. And what we see is like through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Face to face. Oh, my. Was it Job said? I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter days, He's going to stand on this earth. And though the skin worms may devour this flesh, I may die, yet in my flesh shall I see God. See, people take no notice of something like that. They think, well, we're all going to be happy and holy. No, listen, you understand. In my flesh, I'm going to see God.
Amen.
Whom no man has seen and lived, except the Son.
Yeah.
Now it comes to heaven. Who are we going to see? We're going to see the Son. Because He's the light. Oh my, but is it in my flesh? I'm going to see God. And the Holy Spirit, which has sealed me, and the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, He's going to bring us there. The Spirit of Christ is going to bring us there. the Son will actually present us to the Father, and all of his body will be gathered together in one, Jesus Christ. What? Unto the praise of his glory. You understand? This is, I think, is good. But it's not for my good, it's for his glory. Because God is glorified in every work of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God is glorified in the work of Christ. God is glorified in his redemption of sinners. God is glorified in his bringing out, calling out his lost sheep and bringing them into the flock. God is glorified, and God is glorious in every work of Christ. All that God requires is complete in him, Jesus Christ. In Christ's holiness, Christ's righteousness, Christ's sacrifice. And God is glorified in the results of the work of the Son of God, the salvation of his people. He will save his people and deliver them to God on the last day. What? Unto the praise of his glory. Under the praise of his glory. The question is, do you want the earnest? Do you want the Holy Spirit of promise? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to believe Christ? His word's right here. His word is right here. Believe him, trust him. And we sing a song. I'm going to close with this, just a verse. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Amen. I like that. Augustus Toplady wrote that. The earnest of our inheritance. It's our inheritance. Given to us by our elder brother, by our joint heir, by Jesus Christ the righteous. He paid the price so that we never will pay the price. And we have his promise that we will stand with him, before him. Bow at his feet in glory. Ah, that's just grace. That's just grace. That fallen worms will stand before God. But we only stand in Christ. He's the one. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. Thank you most of all for all you have given to us. Your Son, your Spirit, Lord, you've given us everything. Your life, your faith, your salvation, you've given it to us. In Christ, we try to praise you as we ought. By his Spirit, we try to pray as we ought. Help us, Lord, give us words. Be with Walter as he comes to preach your gospel this morning. Be with everyone wherever they are. Bless them with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.